Happy Advent! As we prepare to welcome Jesus once again into the world, we intentionally set aside time each day to listen, meditate, and talk to God. Preparing for Jesus involves much more than buying presents and organizing parties. The more we devote ourselves to learning about the world into which Jesus was born, the more deeply we will understand what it means to welcome Him into our world. Join us as we seek to welcome Jesus with our whole heart, mind, body, and strength this Advent season. Welcome back to our Advent podcast. I am Pastor Jill.
And I'm Rachel, the Director of Children, Youth, and Family Ministry. We're here at First Lutheran Church in Columbia Heights.
Yes. And we are reading this book, The First Advent in Palestine. And we encourage everybody to find this book. You can find it at many local booksellers or online. So look it up. It will affect how you experience Advent this season and how you experience world events, and hopefully deepen your experience with the Bible story around Advent and Christmas.
You know, for those who are not sure, Advent is kind of the season of waiting before Christmas. I work a lot with kids and teens, and they often don't know what Advent is because for them, you have spoopy season, Halloween, and then as soon as that's over, it's Christmas season. But we here at this Lutheran Church and all around the world, Christians take this specific time to wait for the coming of Jesus. And that's what Advent is really about, and that's what this book is really about. And so we're going to start on chapter 2 today. It's titled God's Peace Campaign. And this book really does a fantastic job of bringing us into the setting of that time. Before the birth of Jesus, there was Caesar in Rome who ruled and conquered the whole earth. And it was really interesting to me that when Caesar inaugurated the Pax Romana, the peace, they called him the savior of the world. And we're used to that phrase here in church.
Right, right. Yeah, that's not for Caesar.
No, we say that for Jesus. And in that time, there was endless cycles of war. And so when the Pax Romana came in, people did feel like this was a type of peace. And the author says that Caesar's peace arrived in a very specific way, through violence, through conquering, and through control. And so people were then put into different levels of oppression, and some were lifted up and given money and power, and some were oppressed. And that's kind of the world that Jesus was born into.
Right. It makes us wonder, really, what is peace?
Yeah.
If our whole experience of it is having somebody just keep you quiet.
Right.
Is that peace, if they're just keeping you quiet? Not for the people that are being kept quiet.
No, not
so
at all.
So that's what Jesus' people were feeling right then. And so at the very beginning of Luke, we don't jump right into the story of Mary and Joseph. In fact, it begins with a different couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were relatives of Jesus' mom, Mary. And they also were about to have a baby boy. It came as quite a surprise, and they weren't entirely sure how to expect it, because just like some of their forefathers, they were well past childbearing age. So it was clearly a miracle. And when Zechariah found out that they were going to have a child, he found out before his wife did. And he was so shocked that he was struck mute. So it's a little interaction with an angel there. He couldn't speak anymore, which is also very profound when about the patriarchal society and how men typically did all the speaking and all the leading, and they ran the show, the public show at least. But in this case, we're focused more on Elizabeth then, because she's the one that can speak. And Zechariah was a priest, and so he had the responsibility for doing the worshipful things for his community. He also had the responsibility, when his number came up, to go to Jerusalem and lead worship in the temple in Jerusalem. But this book tells us that they were more than that. They probably couldn't live on him just being a priest. So they probably were farmers too.
Yeah, that's so interesting to think of Zechariah as a bivocational part-time priest,
right?
Part-time man of the people, maybe struggling to pay the bills.
Absolutely. And yeah. So he wasn't living in the big city. He was living like in a suburb, mm-hmm. and it wasn't a wealthy suburb, and people were just trying to get by. And so being a priest for them was very different from being a priest located in Jerusalem with wealthy people and influential people. But Zechariah was able to relate to those who didn't have everything. Mm-hmm. And I really like this quote on page 37. It's about halfway down. It says, Zechariah taught me that if I didn't see my neighbors and their pain, if I refused to join them in solidarity, if I neglected a shared lament, then Advent's first announcement would fall on deaf ears. And I love that, because when I think of our experience of mm-hmm. Christmas and Advent in the church, yes, we want to celebrate it with our church family, but we tend to get very self-centered mm-hmm. as individuals. The children want to know what toys they're mm-hmm. going to get. And maybe we're giving lists to people about things we might want, or we're giving hints. And we're thinking about the presents and my own personal joy. But this reminds us that Jesus, yes, came for me and for you, but came for the community and Absolutely. The people as a whole. And my experience is important, but it's also important to understand the experience of all the people that are around me, or maybe people I don't even know, but to understand that they might not be celebrating. They might not have all the resources we have.
Absolutely.
They might be experiencing oppression in different ways. And so it opens it up to more of a communal or societal experience, not just my own individual experience.
And we need to hear that word so much here in the U.S. And we are very individualistic and focused. And even sometimes at church, it's about what are we celebrating. And to think of Zechariah and Elizabeth and their story is a part of the Jesus story. And what's happening in that time and place is so important. When you hear about the way that God spoke to Zechariah and how he became this important part of the story, it makes me think of the quote here at the end of the chapter on page 38. It says that the hinge is God's presence in the world. Like we started off talking about the Savior of the world. The hinge is just an ordinary priest who stood between the haves and the have-nots, between the empire's beneficiaries and its victims. Zechariah, he interceded in his small village and in the holy city. The hinge is a barren woman, that's Elizabeth, who had given up on the dream of a child and then understood that God had reversed her barrenness, creating a whole new peace that would dawn in Judea. This coming peace would not begin on a battlefield, but on a birthing stool. And that's just a different kind of peace. The peace of Rome was always on a battlefield, and it was always economic. There was taxes and there was oppression and economic injustice and there was death. But the peace of Jesus that began on this birthing stool, first of John and then of Jesus, it's a different kind of peace. And one thing I'm struck with is how long it takes a baby to grow up. I have teenagers, you have adult children, and it takes a long time for that life to grow into fruition and to bring about. And Jesus was 30 before he started his ministry, even longer than childhood. But that's how God brings peace, through this process, through this time, through growth. And it makes me think about this Advent, how the wish list can be fulfilled easily if it's presence. But if our wish list is peace on earth, it's not easy.
Absolutely.
And as I'm praying today for the people of Palestine and Israel and war-torn places around the world, I'm thinking about that peace being born and growing up and how long it takes for peace to mature.
I also think about, along those lines, yeah. that Jesus came to earth in the most vulnerable state Absolutely. He could. I mean, if he was born like a horse or an elephant yeah. or something, he could be up and running in minutes, you know? But he was born the most vulnerable creature on earth, which is a human infant that can do yeah. nothing for themselves.
That's right.
If they do not have relationships with other humans, they will die. Right. And it's very different from how Caesar, who thought he was the savior of the world, presented himself.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a moment to pray about this and think about our lives in context of Advent. Dear God, we thank you that you bring peace to the world and to our lives through Jesus, through a different kind of peace that involves us standing in the middle of the gap between what your will for the world is and where we are right now. God, we thank you that people like Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary received the good news of your joy and struggled through their laments and hard times to bring forth this new life, this new peace. I pray, God, that this Advent, we would give space for you to work through us to bring hope and peace to this new world. Thank you for being with us this Advent and always. Amen.
Amen.